Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Today in Alternative Medicine. I'd like to welcome all of you who are listening to the show. If you're listening live, I'm your host, MD Shahid, and I'll be doing solo tonight. My normal co-host is not here with me, and so I'll be handling the show pretty much on my own. In any event, I'm glad you can stop by and tune into the show. Let me tell you now that this show is a media effort at Excel Nutraceuticals. At Excel Nutraceuticals, we produce and manufacture all natural-based products for the control and management of eczema, psoriasis, contact dermatitis, and thinning hair. For more information about Excel Nutraceuticals and all our fine natural based and organic products, do visit our website at www.xcel-n.com, or you can call us at 1-800-977-3981. Excel Nutraceuticals, where science and nature come together. Now that you're on the show, you're listening to the show, I want to make a quick note here so that everybody will be on the same page, and that is that this show is not intended to be a substitute for a medical diagnosis. So if you are not feeling well or you've been having health problems lately and you don't know really what's going on, we strongly advise you to seek out your personal physician and, you know, try to figure out what's going on with your health. And, you know, once you find out about your health, and I'm sure if it is a bad situation, maybe you're just tired, you need some rest, you know, and maybe it may be something that is a minor thing or a slightly more imminent thing or major thing, then, you know, your physician may give you a diagnosis and probably will give you some drug. And that's where we come in on this show. Once you know what your problem is, there may be, not saying that there will be, but there may be a viable natural alternative that you can utilize, or at least you can augment your daily medical regime such that you can reduce the use of drugs, and sometimes, as we well know, these drugs have undesirable side effects, and we don't want to be on them on a consistent basis. So the lesser we use them, the better off we'll be in most cases. And so this is where a natural alternative comes in, and this is what this show is about, bringing to mind, bringing to the general public up-to-date advancements in the study and application of natural materials, natural substance, natural products. Many of these products are extracts from plant, fruit, or flower. Sometimes they come from the leaf, even the root. They come from various sources in America and around the world. And we stay abreast, stay attuned. We keep our hand on the pulse of what's going on and how such developments may be of use to the everyday person or the everyday consumer. So what we do here on Today in Alternative Medicine. And tonight we're going to be talking about an interesting subject on allergies. But before we get to allergies, we want to bring you some information that maybe you should know. We call this things that you should know or things that you should do. This is a segment of the show. And we try to bring to you some things you can do right now. Generally, you have them right now on your person, maybe at your disposal, right in your house. So we try to bring you information that's of value that you can put to work for yourself right now in terms of increasing your quality of health. Let me read to you an article here from Mail Online. This is a UK health article, and I'm not sure when it actually was published. I think it was early this year. It says, apples fight heart disease, cancer, and strokes. The old proverb of an apple a day keeps the doctor away is proving to be true. That's how this article starts off. It says, it further goes on to say, if there's any one thing that you can do to stay healthy, it is to eat at least two apples a day, according to a whole raft of new scientific research studies. It says, it may sound far-fetched, but an apple contains so many beneficial ingredients that it will protect you from contracting a whole range of life-threatening conditions such as cancer or suffering a stroke. Now, I remember as a young man, they used to tell you all the time, your mother told you, people in your family, your friends, relatives, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. And that was the old saying. And, you know, it became a cliche. But this is many years ago. We're talking about maybe 45 years ago. But as science is evolving and our ability to analyze and extract and become more, and our instrumentation is becoming more sensitive and more exact, we can look at various constituents on the micro level. We're beginning to see that a lot of these cliches that our parents told us or our grandparents told us actually have some merit. And, you know, when you think about it, a lot of things were passed down verbally through tradition. And as you can think about, you know, many years ago, at the turn of the last century, people were battling various diseases and the medicine wasn't as well established here in the Western world. And many things people kind of learned on trial and error. And they saw these things through observation. Maybe I got a cold. Maybe I took this or I took that. Or maybe I had a burn. Or maybe I used this or used that. And this information was recorded verbally and has been passed down traditionally from generations to generations. And today, scientists, you know, we've gotten so big and high mighty, we call this anecdotal information. It's, you know, it's hearsay. It doesn't have merit, but, you know, you shouldn't follow it. You should follow what we do. You know, we study science and we use a scientific method. And we have all these great drugs for you to keep you well and keep you healthy. Well, we begin to take a look back and we begin to see that these things are more than just anecdotal. They may have actual merit. It says, it turns out that apples contain phytonutrients or phytochemicals which act as antioxidants against LDL lipoproteins, low-density lipoproteins, that damage portion of cholesterol in the bloodstream. Apples are also rich in pectins, which are soluble fibers which it has been demonstrated are effective in lowering cholesterol levels. It goes on to say in this article that Finnish researchers found that individuals who ate the most apples had the lowest risk of suffering a stroke due to the benefits of the active compounds called phytonutrients, which I just mentioned earlier. It says their conclusions was based on the evaluation of dietary records and health outcomes of 9,208 men followed for 28 years. That's a pretty big study to follow. Now, these type of studies, they give you information indirectly. They're not direct studies, but they're studies where they accumulate a lot of data from other sources, and then they, from this accumulation of data, they draw some type of conclusion. These studies are good in terms of directional efforts, but again, as a scientist myself, they should still be weighed with some concern on the outcome. In any event, the direction is a positive direction, and it says that these apples, eating these apples, two apples a day, is effective. It went on also to say the British researchers also found that eating apples had a better lung function than non-apple eaters. People who ate apples, had better lung function than non-apple eaters. And they analyzed, again, health and dietary records of 2,512 men to arrive at their conclusions. And then finally, researchers in Hawaii found that an increased consumption of quercetin, which we're going to be talking about tonight, was associated with a reduced risk of lung cancer. It says this work was supported by epidemiologists from Finland's National Public Health Institute, who concluded that a flavonoid-rich diet was associated with a reduced risk of developing cancer. So these are just a compiled studies from around the world that suggest that the consumption of apples are good for your diet, are good to be included in your diet, and that they the consumption of these apples or consumption of apples will reduce your incident of heart disease and possible cancer. So eat you an apple, a good apple. Make sure it's not rotten, not a worm in it. Let's go on. Here is an article from Natural Products Insider, and it was published July 16th, 2012. And it reads, RDA of vitamin C should be higher. It says, researchers in Critical Reviews in Food Science and Nutrition, this is a journal publication, said that there is compelling evidence that the RDA of vitamin C should be raised to 200 milligrams a day for adults, up from its current level of 75 milligrams. This is what they're saying now, that, excuse me, right now the RDA is RDA, which is a daily allowances of a certain nutrient that's established by the Food and Drug Administration of the United States. In the past, it suggested that 75 milligrams of vitamin C for women and 90 milligrams for men is what you need on a daily basis. Now they're saying it should be raised to 200 milligrams. The study goes on to say, rather than just prevent vitamin C deficiency disease of scurvy, researchers say it's appropriate to seek optimum levels that will saturate cells and tissues, pose no risk, and may have significant effects on public health at almost no expense. So they're saying here again that by increasing these levels, you're going to reduce some potential diseases that could occur, and basically it's going to be an inexpensive procedure. It goes on to say that vitamin C could help reduce the chronic diseases that today kill most people in the developed world, such as heart disease, stroke, cancer, and the underlying issues that lead to them, including high blood pressure, chronic inflammation, poor immune response, and atherosclerosis. It says that we believe solid research clearly shows the RDA should be increased, and the benefit to risk ratio is very high. A 200 milligram intake of vitamin C on a daily basis poses absolutely no risk, but there is strong evidence it will provide multiple substantial health benefits. And finally, it says an excellent diet with the recommended 5 to 9 daily servings of fruit and raw or steam cooked vegetables together with a 6-ounce glass of orange juice could provide 200 milligrams of vitamin C a day. Since most people are not getting enough in their diet, even at the current low RDAs, various studies in the United States and Canada have found that about 25% to 33% of people are marginally deficient in vitamin C, and up to 20% in some populations are severely deficient. So these are the recommendations. Eat a couple apples a day and an orange or two. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to discuss allergies. What are allergies? What does it mean by allergies? And how we can combat them. Stay tuned in just one moment.
Their hair has gotten so much thicker, it's gotten longer, and they feel, it's like they had a bald spots on the side of their head. But ever since we've been using it, their hair has actually grown.
Excel Nutraceuticals All-Natural Base HGS has been scientifically developed for the control of eczema of the scalp and hair regrowth. For more information, go to www.xcel-n.com.
Yes, hi. My name is Carmen. About a year ago, I had ordered 3 of the jars of the XL HGS, and I'm here to tell you, oh, it really, really worked. It stopped my hair from thinning out. My hair is just beautiful, and I'm just so very well pleased.
Nutraceuticals, all natural products, call today at 1-800-977-3981.
Attention, are you or someone you know experiencing hair loss due to thinning hair, overbraiding, or chemical treatment? Then you need XL Nutraceuticals All Natural Base HGS. Attention, do you or someone you love suffer from eczema, psoriasis, or contact dermatitis? Then you need XL Nutraceuticals All Natural Base SO. For more information, log on to www.xcel-n.com today.
Yeah, this is Donald from San Antonio. Gave her a bath and we started rubbing her down with the XL SO, and she has had complete moisture in her skin ever since.
XL Nutraceuticals All Natural Base SO has been scientifically developed for the management of eczema and psoriasis. For more information, go to xcel-n.com.
My name's Dr. Karen Holly, and I am the senior pastor at Lifeway Church, and I'm also a psychological therapist. My grandson, Christian Turner, and he uses SO, and he has eczema, and so it's just worked wonderfully for him.
Tried bump stop. I've tried all kind of stuff. My again, you would never believe. People don't believe anymore that I used to have hair bumps except my friends. It cleared it up. No more dry patches, even the patches that would come around.
Nutraceuticals, all natural products. Call today at 1-800-977-3981.
Okay, we're back at the show today in Alternative Medicine. I'm your host, MD Shaheed. This show is a project of Excel Nutraceuticals. At Excel Nutraceuticals, we produce and manufacture all natural base and organic products for the control and management of eczema, psoriasis, contact dermatitis, and thinning hair. For more information about all our fine natural-based products, do visit our website at www.xcel-n.com. You know, this is the time of year when it's getting a little cool. Depending on what part of the country you're in, definitely you're on the East Coast and in the Northeast. Of course, here in Houston, Texas, it's still a little warm. But in any event, it's the time of the year, and it's football is high in the sky, and people are cheering for their teams. But it's also a time of year where many people experience allergies. You know, some people experience allergies in the springtime, and others experience allergies in the fall. And some people, quite frankly, deal with allergies all year round. And that's what we're going to be discussing tonight. What do we mean when we say allergy? Or what does it mean to say an allergy? That's what we're going to be discussing. And also how we can better manage allergies with natural products. But let's start from the top. What do we mean by an allergy? Well, an allergy simply refers to an exaggerated reaction by our immune system in response to what's normally considered a harmless substance. For example, you know, a feather from a chicken or, you know, some other type bird could touch your skin, touch you on the face. In most instances, people just knock it off. But some people sneeze. They have a reaction. This is what we mean by allergy. Sometimes there could be dust in the air. You can walk in a room and the room is dusty. Maybe somebody is you know, clean the carpet and the vacuum. The bag is full and maybe it has burst. And some of the dust is getting in the atmosphere, getting in the air in the room. And you sneeze. That's what we mean by allergy. It's an exaggerated reaction by immune system. And basically what happens is sometimes, not all the time, sometimes the body simply mistakes a normally harmful, harmless substance as a dangerous invader. Some people who don't get allergies as much, every now and then get a little sneeze. They get a little sneeze. And then some people get allergies that are really, really bad, and in some cases can be deadly. These allergies can be deadly. We go on to say that basically the substance that causes these reactions is called an allergen. It's called an allergen. And in most cases, these reactions are predictable, and they occur very rapid. So when you sneeze, generally, it's a real rapid thing. Okay, it happens really rapid. And this is basically because there's a production or an excess of activated white blood cells. And these blood cells are generally broken down into mast cells and basophils. And these are essentially a type of antibody. So the allergen essentially is a substance that gets into the system. The immune system identifies it, or basically it intrudes into the system, in your biological system. Your immune system then identifies it, produces an antigen, and then the antigen then elicits an antibody. And the antigen is just a marker. It's a way that the body marks the intruder. We have somebody here. We have a substance here. We have something going on. The body marks it. Once the body marks it, it sends out killer cells, these white blood cells, to destroy. These are called your antibodies. And let's explain a little bit about this. First of all, these antibodies, when they do their work, the first thing they do is cause inflammation. So first thing I want you to know is inflammation. Inflammation is why you get the little stuffiness or the little stuffiness or kind of heavy feeling in the eyes or in the nostrils, sometimes in the throat or even on the skin. You get a red blotch, or maybe you even start to itch. That's inflammation going on. And ladies and gentlemen, inflammation is your first line of defense against an what we call a undesirable intruder in your biology system. It's the first line of defense. And what the inflammation does, or what the body is trying to do with inflammation, is actually contain the intruder, a microscopic intruder. The body is trying to contain it so that it doesn't spread. It can contain it. It can identify it. Kill it. That's what inflammation is. So actually, in the present sense, inflammation is actually good. It's just that the extension of inflammation, or the prolonged inflammation is when we have a problem. Let's go on and let's talk about some of these different terms so we'll all be on the same page. For those who don't know, white blood cells are basically the leukocytes. Those are called leukocytes. That's the medical term. That's the biological term. These are cells of the immune system that are involved in the defense of the body to fight infection. Then you have mast cells, which is a type of white blood cell. But basically, they are agglomeration of cells. They are cells that are made of several types of tissues that form granules that produce histamine and heparin. Histamine basically is the reason why you get the stuffy nose. The body produces this histamine, and this is to help in number one, the isolation of the intruder, and number two, it's also to expand the capillaries in certain tissue so that blood can rush, white blood cells can rush there more readily and do their thing. That's what histamine does. The problem is, unfortunately, that's uncomfortable. Stuffy nose, runny eyes, scratchy throat. Basophils, there are also granular cells that produce histamine. And again, histamine basically is the trigger, the body's inflammatory response mechanism. And of course, you get this inflammation. And inflammation is a complex biological response to all these different things, whether you have pathogens that are bacteria or viruses or molds, or it could be a fungus, a toxin. And when I say toxin, I mean chemical as well. And basically, again, the inflammation is there to keep the intruder or keep the toxin from spreading to other sensitive parts of the body, particularly the organs. So the human immune system is very, very complex and very, very interesting on a biochemical level. Some of the risk factors for allergies are host and environment. Basically, when we say host, we mean some people are predisposed based on their heredity to allergies. And then there's other environmental factors, such as, you know, where you live at, where you work at, even the kind of clothes you wear, the air you breathe, if you're a smoker, a drinker, even your sexual habits, you could come in contact with infectious diseases, pollen, etc. What are some of the symptoms of allergies? Some of the symptoms of allergies we touched on them briefly: red eyes, itchy, running nose, coughing, wheezing, breathing problems, stomach cramps, headaches, skin rashes, and in some cases, asthma. That's right. Some allergies can actually cause an asthma attack. And you'll see some people wheezing. They have a little spray that they use, inhaler, that they carry with them just in case they have an asthma attack. Let me give you an example of some of these different type of symptoms. Many years ago, as a much younger man and as a young scientist, and at that time I was working in pharmaceuticals, I had a young son who would always, you know, at nighttime, he would just start coughing. He'd get into bed, he started coughing. And during the daytime, he was all right, pretty much. But he was my son. He was a young son. At the time, maybe he was 6, 7 years old, he would just cough. And it really disturbed me. And, you know, we tried to give him cough medicine, and that didn't work. And we gave him this, and that didn't work. And I wasn't involved in natural science or the study of the natural science substances. When I say natural science, I mean looking at molecules that are naturally occurring in nature. It could be a plant. It could be an algae. The certain molecules that have or can exhibit a certain positive biological effect in humans. That's what I mean by natural science. And I was not in that direction at the time. I was still a secular researcher. And I was, you know, trying everything I could, you know, to find something to give my son relief. And I made an observation one time that at night, in the daytime, he was cooler. He didn't cough as much. But at nighttime, when he went to bed, he had a tendency to wrap up in his blanket. And you know, he would cough. And I realized that he was getting warm. And so I remember as a young kid myself, my mom told me about, you know, starve a cold, feed a fever. And, you know, most, you know, we know colds are basically related to bacterial infection and fevers are viruses. So I said, you know what, maybe if I keep him cool at night. And try to find something down the road that would help him. I didn't know what to find. So I started, you know, making sure he didn't wrap up in the covers or tight, made sure he had on cool clothing, and I saw the incident of coughing decrease and he could sleep better. And eventually I realized maybe a couple of years later some of the effects, bacterial effect of certain substance, like certain teas that I would give him. I was giving him he was drinking green tea extract and also chamomile tea. It was a mixture, and I was seeing the effect. And that's when I first started saying, well, you know what? Maybe that has some promise, because I had read something in a Japanese journal about green tea and inflammation. And I took a jump and says, okay, we'll keep him cool. Maybe it's bacteria. And we'll use this green tea and the chamomile mixture, because I started studying the compounds and I realized that it's having a positive effect. And I later began to study more readily, and I began to realize about the catechins in the green tea and some of the phenol compounds in the chamomile tea and how these things have possible antibacterial activity. And then later on, as the years passed, more and more researchers demonstrated the bacteriostatic effect of green tea. So much about that. But again, that's a thing that you should understand, is that these concepts come by a lot of observation. And sometimes observation take many, many years. But again, these symptoms, when you have allergic symptoms, observe the type symptoms you have. That's the point I'm driving at. It may lead you to a particular type of remedy that'll be more effective and more efficient than other remedies. Okay, what are some of the triggers of allergy? Well, pollen, we talked about that. Animal dander, dust mites, bacteria, fungi, viruses, mold. There's certain foods, particularly peanuts, and we all know some people have peanut allergy. Matter of fact, it's a significant amount of people in the society, they have peanut allergies. I've met a lot of people who have peanut allergies. And in fact, I think in some school districts around the country, they are eliminating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because I'm assuming the schools don't want the liability, the health liability, of somebody having a kid having an allergic attack at school, because peanuts are known to have some effect on people. Tree nuts, wheat, soy, fish, shellfish, eggs, and milk. Also, there are certain insect problems you can have that cause allergies, bee stings, wall stings, and even some medications, particularly penicillin and penicillin-based antibiotics, could also be a trigger for allergies. So that you have it on allergies and allergy triggers. How do we know we have allergies? Or how do we find out we have an allergy? Or can we test for allergy? Well, sure you can. There are skin tests that you can use. And these tests, your skin will be pricked and exposed to certain amounts of proteins found in potential allergies. If you develop a bump or some type of hive, then most likely you have an allergy to that particular substance. There's also blood tests you can do as well that will further verify whether or not you have allergies or allergies to certain materials. Are there any common medications that you can buy? Sure they are. You hear about them every day. There are many OTCs that you can buy to help combat your allergies. Some of these OCTs are classified, number one, as antihistamines. And we talked about antihistamines. And antihistamines, ladies and gentlemen, work by reducing or blocking the release of histamine by mast and basophil cells. Antihistamines are available over the counter and by prescription. They come in many forms. You can get antihistamines in capsules and pills. Some comes in eye drops, liquids, and nasal sprays. Some of the common antihistamines that you're aware of are, and I'm going to give you the common name. And when I say common name, I mean the name that is sold, the brand name is sold in the store to consumers. Clarinex is an antihistamine. And these are basically prescription antihistamines you have to get from a doctor. It's also Vistaril and also Imodine. And these are eye drops. These are basically stronger antihistamines that your physician may prescribe to you if you have serious allergy situations. Some of the OTC antihistamines, Benadryl is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, on the market. Allegra, Claritin, Dimetane, Zyrtec, and Tavist. These are some of the ways of combating allergies. Other ways you can combat allergies are decongestants. Decongestants can help relieve a stuffy nose. They work by the constriction of blood flow to nasal passages. However, you don't want to use decongestants too long because the whole idea of the immune system is to form this histamine that will help induce inflammation at the same time open up the capillaries so that blood can flow or white blood cells can flow that will help what fight the intruder. So now if you go and constrict the flow of blood and histamine, then you're basically hurting your immune system. So although decongestants have merit, the prolonged use of them can be a problem. And then finally, you can go get an allergy shot. Be careful. Sometimes people have reactions to allergy shots. So that's allergies, ladies and gentlemen, and that's how allergies come about, and that's how allergies affect us. When we come back, we're going to talk about some natural materials, a natural substance have been found to be effective to help manage and control allergic reactions. Stay tuned.
Yeah, this is Donald from San Antonio. Gave her a bath, and we started rubbing her down with the XLSO, and she has had complete moisture in her skin ever since.
Excel Nutraceuticals' all-natural-based SO has been scientifically developed for the management of eczema and psoriasis. For more information, go to xcel-n.com.
My name's Dr. Karen Holly, and I am the senior pastor at Lifeway Church, and I'm also a psychological therapist. My grandson, Christian Turner, and he uses SO, and he has eczema, and so it's just worked wonderfully for him.
Tried bump stop. I've tried all kind of stuff. But my skin, you would never believe. People don't believe anymore that I used to have hair bumps except my friends. It cleared it up. No more dry patches. Even the patches that would come around.
Nutraceuticals, all natural products. Call today at 1-800-977-3981.
I actually brought it for my daughters. Their hair has gotten so much thicker. It's gotten longer, and they feel it's like they had a bald spots on the side of their head. But ever since we've been using it, the hair has actually grown.
Excel Nutraceuticals All Natural Base HGS has been scientifically developed for the control of eczema of the scalp and hair regrowth. For more information, go to www.xcel-n.com.
Yes, hi. My name is Carmen. About a year ago, I had ordered 3 of the jars of the Excel HGS, and I'm here to tell you, oh, it really, really worked. It stopped my hair from thinning out. My hair is just beautiful, and I'm just so very well pleased.
Nutraceuticals, all natural products. Call today at 1-800-977-3981.
Products.
EL-N.com. If you would like to join in on the conversation, you can now call in on our guest call-in line. That number is 347 347-996-5507. That's 347-996-5507. You know, dealing with allergies is not always that simple. And I know I may have sounded like I oversimplified it in the last segment of the show, but some people have a really difficult time managing their allergies. And sometimes some of the OTCs drugs that they use just don't cut it. And sometimes people don't respond to their chemistry, doesn't respond rightly to the use of many of these drugs. And herein, you may want to look at a more natural alternative. Let me introduce you to a material called acetylcysteine. Acetylcysteine is an amino acid. Pardon me, it's not a true amino acid. It's an analog of amino acid of cysteine. It's a nutritional supplement, although the pharmaceutical industry has actually attempted to make it a drug. And in fact, they do have it listed as a drug, listed as a pharmaceutical drug, and it's used as an antidote when a person has acetaminophen overdose. Basically, if you take too much Tylenol, you can take this material and it will block the toxic effect of the Tylenol, because an overdose or high doses of Tylenol are detrimental to your liver and your kidney. That's why if you read the directions, it'll tell you only take so much of this particular drug for a period of time. This substance, NAC, is the acronym it's called, is a known antidote for Tylenol poison. In fact, this particular natural substance is so well known, of course you didn't know that now, did you? Because the medical community don't tell you that. It is even used to protect the liver when people are on dialysis. It's also used as an anti-mucolytic agent, meaning that it breaks up the mucus in your throat or in your lung lung cavity. It breaks the mucus up. It's a good substance for that because it breaks the disulfide bonds and mucus and then liquefies it. And so you can breathe better. This is a material that's sold at your health food store. NAC, N-acetylcysteine. Why am I bringing up N-acetylcysteine? Because N-acetylcysteine, ladies and gentlemen, has been shown to reduce the incidence of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease exacerbations. In other words, this is an inflammatory disease of the lungs. Remember we talked about earlier? How inflammation coincides with allergic reactions or allergy attacks. This particular substance has been shown to be effective in dealing with inflammation. NAC, don't forget that. NAC. Let me read something to you. I got this from a publication from the Life Extension magazine. This is from May 20th, 2010. And it reads, Lung Disease Defense. A randomized pilot study of adults with acute exacerbation of chronic bronchitis and positive bacterial culture in sputum demonstrated that 600 milligrams of NAC twice daily led to a near doubling of the rate of bacterial eradication compared with standard therapy, while reducing the number and duration of acute exacerbations and improving the quality of life. So these people that had this problem, this disease, COPD, by giving them NAC, it reduced the incidence of their situation. Again, it went on to say, in one study using a dose of just 600 milligrams per day for 10 weeks, NAC disrupted the molecular relationship between oxidative stress and inflammation, protecting lung tissue. When NAC is added to inhaled corticosteroids, still further reductions in inflammatory parameters were observed. That's NAC. That's in people who have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD. This is showing that this substance, this simple molecule, is effective in managing inflammation. And remember, inflammation is identified as a problem in allergic reactions. Let me read something else here. Here's another publication from the University of Saarland in Germany, Department of Plastic and Hand Surgery, Institute for Medical Biometry, Epidemiology, and Medical Informatics. N-acetylcysteine attenuates leukocytic inflammation and microvascular perfusion failure and critically ischemic random pattern flaps. Now, I know I said a lot, but essentially what this is saying is that when there is a restriction in blood flow to an organ, in this case, we're talking about to the heart, then there is a lack of oxygen, okay? And this lack of oxygen causes problems in that organ. Then when there's a sudden rush of blood to that area, there's a high introduction of oxygen, and because of this, this causes free radical, oxygen-free radicals, and these free radicals can be damaging to the heart organ. This is what this is saying in basic layman terms. It basically says microcirculatory dysfunction causes ischemia resulting in tissue necrosis, meaning the tissue dies. N-acetylcysteine has been shown capable of protecting tissue from ischemic necrosis. However, the mechanism of action of NAC is yet not fully understood. Basically, in their conclusions, they wrote, NAC is effective to attenuate leukocytic inflammation and microvascular perfusion failure in critically ischemic tissue. Thus, NAC treatment may represent a promising approach to improve the outcome of ischemically endangered flap tissue. That's NAC. Okay, here's another study, and I'm just giving you some clinical research, some scientific background information that will support the use of this natural substance. Too many times in natural science, natural proponents will tell you to drink green tea. They tell you to drink black tea, apple cider vinegar. You ask them why. Well, it works. Well, how do you know it works? Well, I read it on the internet. Or I read it in a book. Well, was it any kind of research, medical? Well, I'm not sure. And so this is where a lot of good information gets lost. And again, this effort is to bring to you scientific support for the use of alternative remedies. Here is another research study from the Journal of Clinical Experimental Allergy. This is May 2007. Inhibitory effects of N-acetylcysteine on the functional responses of human eosinophils in vitro. In vitro actually means outside of the body. The background abstract, I'll just read the abstract. I won't go through the whole paper. It says oxidative stress appears to be relevant in the pathogenesis of inflammation and allergic diseases like bronchial asthma. Eosinophils are oxidative sensitive cells considered as a key effectors in allergic inflammation. Here's a direct study on allergy in NAC. The conclusions, I'll just go to the conclusions. Inhibition by NAC of human eosinophil functions in vitro is potentially useful in the treatment of allergic inflammation. There's a compound, NAC. Keep that on your scoreboard. Another interesting material that I want to bring to your attention is called quercetin. Quercetin is a flavonol derived from flavonoids found in fruits, vegetables, leaves, and grains. It says that this substance is also used in ingredients and supplements, beverages, or foods. Now, you can actually, again, go to the health food store and find this material, Quercetin. It's widely distributed in nature. Here's some of the foods you can actually find it in. It's in green tea. It's in apples, highly concentrated apples, 440 milligrams per kilogram. It's in onions, especially red onions. It's in red grapes, tomatoes, broccoli. It's in cranberry, 83 milligrams per kilogram. Buckthorn berry, 62 milligrams per kilogram. It's in just a lot of different fruits, quercetin. And when I first started investigating quercetin, I looked at the structure, and being a scientist and not just a physical inorganic scientist, but I also in my past was involved in various synthesis of molecules and the application of these molecules. And I noticed that when you look at the chemical structure of quercetin, it looks a lot like a material that we used in research studies. And for the companies I work for, they actually sold it for the stabilization of butadiene. And butadiene is a petrochemical material that is produced from the cracking process, and it is sent to the rubber industry and is used in the production of synthetic rubber. It's actually a gas at atmospheric conditions, at room temperature, but it liquefies under pressure. It's very poisonous and very explosive. But it's, believe it or not, it's used with other chemical intermediates that start off in liquids. They start off in liquids, clear liquids. And when you end up, they're rubbery. And they put them on your tire, make the tire out of it, and you ride them down the street on something that used to be a gas. That became a liquid and now is a solid. Isn't that interesting? I find that quite interesting. In any event, this butadiene substance is very explosive, very reactive, particularly in the presence of oxygen, and it has to be stabilized. And it's a molecule called 4-pyrocatechol, TBC. Now, I'm only giving you this, its background, technical background. It's called TBC. Don't try to use it. It's very poisonous. It's toxic. But it's a good stabilizing inhibitor of free radicals at atmospheric conditions or at room temperature. And many of you who understand antioxidant, or you're trying to understand how antioxidants work, understand this much, that some antioxidants, though they be similar in structure, work a lot better at lower temperatures and at regular atmospheric pressures than at higher temperatures and different atmospheric pressures. In any event, this TBC compound, I work with it quite a bit. I know its reactions and everything. And so when I was introduced to quercetin, I looked at the molecule. I said, it looks just like TBC. But aha, alas, look what nature has done. It has a certain molecule on it attached to it that reduces its toxicity and also increases bioavailability. And that's the difference between this molecule, quercetin, and TBC. But the main functional group is the same on both molecules. So it's easy for me to see why this natural substance is very effective in inflammation, because inflammation is, for the most part, a free radical process. And this quercetin is a what? Free radical scavenger. Quercetin. It says here that quercetin, several laboratory studies show quercetin has anti-inflammatory properties and is now being investigated for a wide range of potential health benefits. I got this from Wikipedia, free encyclopedia online. You can go look at that on Concertin. How is Concertin used for allergies? How to use Concertin for allergies? Well, we talked about Concertin belonging to a family of bioflavonoids. The way it works is it blocks the substances, serotonin, and histamine, which are both used by the body in allergic reactions. And so this is how Concertin works. It basically, actually more technically, it blocks the production of a substance that triggers the release of the antibody IgE. So by blocking that substance that triggers that release, this antibody IgE is not formed, and when IgE is not formed, then serotonin and histamine are not formed as well. So that's how such Concertin works. You can buy it at your health food store. It's not toxic. One of the problems with Concertin is not easily absorbed in the gastrointestinal tract. So therefore, you need to take with it bromelain, which is a protein digesting enzyme, which you can obtain from pineapples. You can buy bromelain, or you can just eat a cup of pineapple. I think they said one cup of pineapples give you, 500 to 750 milligrams of bromelain, and that's more than sufficient to absorb the Concertin. You would be taking the Concertin around 100 to 200 milligrams a day. Concertin. That's what you would do. That's another effective natural substance shown in many studies to be effective in controlling inflammation, which in turn controls allergic responses. Here is another amino acid. The amino acids, you can see right now, these amino acids are really involved in the immune response mechanism. One of the most interesting amino acids, which I have been involved with in studying for the past few years, is taurine. Taurine is an important amino acid in our body. It is found mostly in our central nervous system, skeleton muscles, and to a greater concentration in our heart and our brains. One of the things also about taurine, ladies and gentlemen, is that taurine has a very interesting use in the body in the cardiovascular system. In the cells, taurine keeps potassium and magnesium inside the cell while keeping excess sodium outside the cells. In a sense, it works like a diuretic, but it's not a diuretic per se, and it's not a poison like many diuretics can be. It does not act against the kidney, but instead improves the kidney function. Taurine is very useful in fighting tissue swelling and fluid accumulation. Taurine is a derivative of cysteine, an amino acid. We talked about that earlier with acetylcysteine. You see how these things are all kind of related? Isn't nature wonderful? Sure she is. Taurine is one of the few known naturally occurring sulfonic acids. I'm just giving you some interesting background on taurine. Taurine occurs also naturally in food, especially in seafood and meat. You can get it in seafood or either meat. Taurine is generally found in the body where there's inflammation. And one of the reasons why we find taurine in the body when there's inflammation is because the body quickly hurries the taurine molecule there, because one of the radicals in inflammation is the chloroperoxy radical, which is very detrimental to tissue, particularly lipid peroxidation, and taurine scavenges that particular radical. Let me give you maybe one or two clinical papers on taurine and inflammatory response. Here from the Journal of Neurotrauma, February 27, 2010, taurine reduces inflammatory responses after spinal cord injury. And I'm only going to read you the abstract and some of the conclusions here, ladies and gentlemen. Taurine has multiple functions in the central nervous system, serving as an osmoregulator, antioxidant, inhibitor, neuromodulator, and regulator of intracellular calcium flux. Let's see. Since the role of taurine in traumatic spinal cord injury is not fully understood, the present study was conducted with C57 black six mice who underwent severe spinal cord injury at the eighth level using a weight compression device. Now, I didn't really want to read that. Isn't that horrible? Some of these research studies, to me, these are not, the mice are not human, but it's just an idea. And I won't explain to you how this is done. I've seen this done. It's not pretty. Anyway, from the findings, they found that taurine has anti-inflammatory effects against SCI, spinal cord injury, and may play a neuroprotective role against secondary damage, and thus it may have therapeutic potential. From the Biochemical Pharmacology, March 15, 2011, anti-inflammatory actions of taurine analog ethane B-sultam in phytocytic cells in vivo and in vitro. Abstract, the ability of taurine to reduce cellular inflammation has been investigated in vitro in primary cultures of alveolar macrophages and immortalized N9 microglial cell line, and in vivo in an animal model of inflammation in control rats. Won't go through the whole paper. I'm going to skip to the conclusions here. It says the anti-inflammatory response of taurine was shown to be mediated via stabilization. The use of a taurine prodrug as a therapeutic agent. They're looking to try to make taurine a drug for the treatment of neurological conditions such as Parkinson's and Alzheimer's diseases and alcoholic brain damage, where activated phagocytic cells contribute to the pathogenesis, may be of great potential. Again, this is very interesting research, but it's talking about Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, which is on the increase in the social arena, and how taurine may be important. This suggests that inflammation, again, is connected to Parkinson and Alzheimer's diseases. I know I've said a mouthful. If you want to call in now, you can. It's 347-996-5507. 347-996-5507. Again, today in alternative medicine, here we are showing the use of natural substance. We're giving you scientific backing. Many people say these don't work. The media doesn't carry all this information. They only tell you the negative parts. Or, well, somebody did a study in vitamin C, or they did a study on vitamin E, and it didn't work, and maybe vitamins don't work, but they don't tell you that they conducted their studies at levels or dosages where it's not supposed to work. It's not going to work that well. But they don't bring to the general public these type of studies. Green tea extract. We've talked about green tea extract in the past and on this broadcast. Let me read to you. Green tea may fight allergies. New evidence suggests that drinking the popular brew green tea may provide relief from allergies. Researchers in Japan identified a compound in green tea that in laboratory tests blocked a key receptor involved in producing an allergic response. This compound is methylated epigallocatechin gallate, EGCG, and may have a similar effect in humans. Now, this study was done a few years ago. There have been concurrent studies that have backed this up and demonstrated that green tea is effective in modulating allergic responses. This study is described in the October 9th issue of the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry, a publication of the American Chemical Society. And in this study, it went on to say green tea appears to be a promising source for effective anti-allergic agents. So if you have allergies, you should consider drinking green tea. It further goes on to say EGCG is one of the most abundant and biologically active antioxidants found in tea. It is believed to be responsible for tea's beneficial health effects. The compound is found in higher concentrations in green tea, the least processed of the teas, than in black or oolong varieties, pardon me. It now appears that the compound works by blocking the production of histamine. Here we go with histamine again. Blocking the production of histamine and immunoglobulin IgE, which is what we talked about earlier with quercetin. Two compounds in the body that are chiefly involved in triggering and sustaining allergic reactions. The current study shows for the first time that a methylated form of EGCG can block the Ig receptor, which is a key receptor involved in allergic response. The effect was demonstrated using human basophils, which are blood cells that release histamine. Green tea. So here you have N-acetylcysteine, NAC, quercetin with a little bromelain, taurine, and green tea extract. All four natural substances, amino acids, or plant-derived materials that when used in combination can be a powerful mechanism for managing your allergic reactions. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, using natural materials. You don't have to use OTCs all the time. You can try a different route. There are all alternatives. We'll be back in just one moment.
Yeah, this is Donald San Antonio. I gave her a bath, and we started rubbing her down with the XLSO, and she has had complete moisture in her skin ever since.
Excel Nutraceuticals' all-natural-based SO has been scientifically developed for the management of eczema and psoriasis. For more information, go to xcel-n.com.
My name's Dr. Karen Holly, and I am the senior pastor at Lifeway Church, and I'm also a psychological therapist. My grandson, Christian Turner, and he uses SO, and he has eczema, and so it's just worked wonderfully for him.
Tried bump stop. I've tried all kind of stuff. But my skin, you would never believe. People don't believe anymore that I used to have hair bumps except my friends. It cleared it up. No more dry patches. Even the patches that would come around.
Nutraceuticals, all natural products. Call today at 1-800-977-3981.
I actually brought it for my daughters. Their hair has gotten so much thicker. It's gotten longer. And they feel, it's like they had a bald spots on the side of their head. But ever since we've been using it, their hair has actually grown.
Excel Nutraceuticals' all-natural-based HGS has been scientifically developed for the control of eczema of the scalp and hair regrowth. For more information, go to www.xcel-n.com.
Yes, hi. My name is Carmen. About a year ago, I had ordered 3 of the jars of the Excel HGS, and I'm here to tell you, oh, it really, really worked. It stopped my hair from thinning out. My hair is just beautiful, and I'm just so very well pleased.
Nutraceuticals, all natural products. Call today at 1-800-977-3981.
Attention, are you or someone you know experiencing hair loss due to thinning hair, overbraiding, or chemical treatment? Then you need Excel Nutraceuticals All Natural Base HGS. Attention, do you or someone you love suffer from eczema, psoriasis, or contact dermatitis? Then you need Excel Nutraceuticals All Natural Base SO. For more information, log on to www.xcel-n.com today.
in back. Well, I hope we've done a good enough job in bringing you to a better understanding of what actually is an allergy. What do we mean when we say allergy or allergies? And you have a better understanding of how allergies come about in the human being. What are some of the substances, some of the entities that cause allergic responses in humans, and how you can manage your allergies or control your allergies with OTC drugs. We talked about them. We didn't really get into some of the side effects, but these are pretty safe drugs, although they do have some effects. Sometimes they make you a little drowsy, but we hope we've given you viable alternatives to the use of these drugs. And acetylcysteine, a very great, I wouldn't say great, but a very, very just prominent molecule found in natural habitat in the environment. Actually, it's an analog, but of a natural amino acid cysteine, but in the body, it's methylated anyway in many reactions, metabolic reactions. And we talked about taurine, another amino acid that's found in nature, and quercetin in apples and in various berries and certain broccolis. You know, we've talked about these. And then there's the great green tea. The green tea, everybody's talking about green tea. We showed you very good scientific backing that demonstrates that these materials, these substances, can be used to combat allergies and help you better control your allergies.